Okay, so once upon a time we were up to Os Ches. I'm not going to talk anything about Os Ches, really. I'm just going to read it. So he says, Prima Gadim says, Lav bim eino inyan ein lokin. So he has a rule that if the Gemara learns out a Los Haseh using the tool of im eino inyan lezeh, tenei inyan acher, you don't get Malkus over that. V'yesh tznoyim lezeh, v'yarti b'sefer poros Yosef, v'ginas v'radim. So he says there's a lot of rules. Sometimes you do. A lot of times you do. You can look in some of the footnotes here. Goes through a lot of times where you do get Malkus for it. So he says, you look in my other Sfarim, you'll find what I wrote about that. And then he says, V'im yirtze Hashem b'shoshana samakim avar od. And I'll write more about it in Sefer Shoshana Samakim. I have mikol makom lav gomer ela shein lokin aleim. So he's saying basically, I'll discuss a different topic, which is whether or not it's a real lav at all, or it's a full-fledged lav, or it's just something which is usher. Like we glossed over the chatzi shir business also, but basically chatzi shir is not one of the Los Haseis of the Torah. It's just what we call Lav Ba'alma. It's just something which is Usser, Yisura Ba'alma. Okay, so he said, all right, we'll leave that out. All right, the last thing in this group that he wants to say over is Os Tes, and this is all the Madrega Aleph, which means that things which are Beferish in the Torah, Mitzvos and Lavin, which are Beferish in the Torah. Now he's going to just close off this topic before he moves on to Madrega Beis, which is things that are learned out from Gzeirah Shavah and Hekesh and things like that, which are on a similar level to Davar HaMefurish, but not exactly the same. And then we're sort of going to get moving through the different topics. He gets over to the Madrega Gimel, which is the other Yud Gimel Midas Torah addresses by. And all right, as we keep going, we'll eventually cover some ground. But tonight I don't want to really cover a lot of ground. I just want to speak about what he says in Os Tes, which is the din of Yesh Koch Biad Chachamim Lakar Davar Min HaTorah. He says, Masharoi Lahazkir Od Bekan Hu Zed the Yesh Koch Biad Chazal Lakar Davar Min HaTorah B'Shev Al Tasa Lo Bekum Vase. So we paskin, according to Prima Gadim, that the Chachamim have the right to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah only B'Shev Al Tasa, not Bekum Vase. If you look in footnote number 70, and you, I'm sure, discussed this at length last year when you did the sugi of Afkin Rabban Al Kedushim Minei, there's two dais in the Gemara and Yevamos on Pei Tesam at Beis, whether or not the Chachamim have the koach to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah Bekum Vase as well. V'Av Shev Al Tasa Lo Lakar Lagamri. Then he adds an important rule. Even when they're trying to be Oker Davar Min HaTorah B'Shev Al Tasa, they are not able to be Oker it Legamre. What is he referring to? He quotes the Taz. This is Ayin Arachayim Simen Tov Kuf Pei Ches, but Taz, Umagen Avram, Os, I don't know what he means there, Os Divar Maskel, Os Dalet Hey. I'm not sure what he's referring to, but probably Sifkut and Dalet and Sifkut and Hey in the Magen Avram. Or Sifkut and Dalet in the Magen Avram and Sifkut and Hey in the Taz. So that is the famous Shita of the Taz. You guys have heard the Shita before. Let's just go through it a little bit. If you have the footnotes, I don't know if he quotes it word for word in footnote number 71. I'll read you the Lashon of the Taz. The Taz is going on the Shulchan Aruch's din that we don't blow shofar on first day Rosh Hashanah, which turns out to be Shabbos, because of Yesh Koch Biad Chachamim Lakar Davar Min HaTorah B'Shev Al Tasa, similar to the other two cases where we don't do something. What are the other two cases where we don't do something on Shabbos? Mikra Megillah and the Tilas Lulav, right. So the Taz is the same Kasha. Says the Taz is Sifkot and Hey and Simen Tov Kuf Peches. Mishum Shem Eitlenu B'Yado Leilich Eitzel Baki Lilmod V'Avirena Dalet Amos Rosh Hasarab. Hiksha Mizrachi B'Yom Tov Nami Nigzor Shem Yisakin Klishir V'Herich B'Zeh U'V'Sof Lo Tiritz Klum. So he quotes the Mizrachi's Kasha and he says, he doesn't give a good answer. He says, how come we don't aser shofar every day of Rosh Hashanah Because we know there's a Mishnah Maseches Beitzah which says that there's an Isser Shem Yisakin Kli Shir. There's a Gzeira Shem Yisakin Kli Shir. We're not allowed to clap on Shabbos and Yontif. We're not allowed to bang on the table on Shabbos and Yontif. Right? We don't do any of that. We're not allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yontif. Right? Nobody does any of that? Of course not. Right? All right, Lemaisa, whatever. Tosa this, Tosa over there.
A good shuffle.
What?
A good shuffle.
Yeah, that's a different story, but still everybody claps and bangs and whatever. Okay, so you see the Tosa on that Mishnah, you'll see why. But
Tulsa only holds like
he's
like very. There's only one opinion. Like no one ever
knows how to use them. Is that true? Yeah, but Tulsa has become the minig. Tulsa has pretty much accepted. Some people clap with a shinui, but overall, the minig I've seen pretty much everywhere is that people are not so makbid. Okay.
Should they be?
What?
Should they be?
Should they be? I don't know. I mean, all the poskim seem to be somewhat makel. I don't know. I'm not going to start now. Anyway, don't extend the words of Tosas to other Xeris. Somebody once asked Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Schachter quotes in a footnote of one of his forms, somebody asked Rav Soloveitchik about medicines on Shabbos or carrying, now that the Mishnah Berurah throws in a possibility that maybe nowadays that we don't make medicines, or maybe nowadays that we don't have a Rishus Rab Daraisa. I guess in Radin they didn't have too many Rishus Rab Daraisas, so maybe they shouldn't have such a Gzeira. They shouldn't require an Erev because the Tam for Carmelis is not really so Matzwe anymore. And what about Shchikas Samamonim on Shabbos? We don't really make our own medicines on Shabbos anymore. So Soloveitchik was not buying that. He said, absolutely not. There's no Svara whatsoever we make on these Gzeiras. And they said, what about this Tosas and Beitza, which says that nowadays that we don't know how to tune instruments, so we're not makvid. First of all, we know how to tune instruments. I don't know what he means. Anybody who plays a guitar knows how to tune a guitar. They can do it in 3 seconds. It's all right, play piano. Nobody knows how to tune a piano. You have to call in a professional. But people know how to tune instruments. So it's not so posh that, if you break a string, you tie a new one on. It's not hard. So anyway, he said, what about this Tosfos? So the Lashni quotes, he says, Al Rishonim on a Mitzdarin. We don't know what Tosfos is talking about. So Mamela, you could say what Tosfos actually said. So if it's Mila Bamila in Tosfos, I'm not going to start a fight with Tosfos. You want to listen to Tosfos, go right ahead. But we're not going to take that Tosfos that we don't know what he's talking about anyway and expand it to other halachas, where you want to use the same svar. That's already too much. Anyway. I forgot what daf the Mishnah is on. It's a Mishnah. I don't know. I forgot what daf the Mishnah is on. Anyway, if you give me a Gemara, I'll find it for you. So the whole chashash of Shem Yisak and Klishir, we should asur also playing a shofar, right? You're not allowed to play a trumpet on Shabbos and Yontif, so you shouldn't be allowed to play a shofar on Yontif. That's the kash of the Mizrahi. Shem Yisak and Klishir. So the Taz says he talks and doesn't give an answer. So he says the first answer is the only answer you need. Shofar is not a musical instrument. What music does one play with a shofar? That's not called a klishir. And therefore there's no gzeira. It's not as musical as beating on a table. Beating on a table is a rhythmic thing that you could play to some sort of music. Shofar, you say tkiya shvaram through a tkiya, you can blow different beats with the shofar, but at the end of the day it's not a musical thing. So that's the only answer you need, really. The kasha wasn't really a kasha to start with. However, the Taz sees this as a springboard to say his famous pshat. Ulani is daiti de kol ha-shofar. Oh, did that already, sorry. Va'od nirali v'tarits. De'ein lahem ligzor v'lakor l'gamre divrei dvar Torah shetzivso l'tkoa b'yom zeh. He says, we're not going to uproot completely the words of the Torah, which tells us to blow shofar today. Bishlam b'shabbos lomis akir l'gamre. Kevin shebelo shabbos token b'yontif. So I understand on Shabbos, you're not really uprooting the din of blowing shofar because if it wasn't Shabbos, you would have blown that day, and you're going to blow every other day of Yontif. V'nire shezel b'chlal mashos siyag l'Torah lo lavar al divrei Torah. This is what it means. You're supposed to make a siyag l'Torah. You're not supposed to violate the words of the Torah. Zel It's literally a violation of the Torah to completely uproot a mitzvah deraisa. So he says, the Beis Yosef quotes the Ran, he says, wait a minute, why is Mila Doche Shabbos? Aren't you afraid you're going to carry the baby? He says, he gives a difficult territory. We have a gzeiras hakasuv of yom hashmini that no matter when the eighth day is, you should be mal the kid on the eighth day, even if it's Shabbos. So laratzu lakar davar Torah. They don't want to go against the pasuk beferish mishum gzeira. L'chayotze b'zekasafti b'yoradei asim in kufyid zayin. Look in kufyid zayin, you'll see another din similarly over there. That's the famous sheet of the Taz. That when it says in the Torah you're supposed to do something, you're not allowed to go against what the Torah says. It says in the Torah you're supposed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. If you make a gzeira that says you're not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you're literally violating the words of the Torah. So too, even something which is not exactly beferish, which is what the Taz says about Uviyom HaShmini Himo. You're supposed to give the brismila on the eighth day, and you're not supposed to violate the gzeiras hakasuv of giving a bris milah just because of a chashash that you're going to violate Shabbos. It's ki'ilu, it says beferish in the Torah, you should violate the Shabbos in order to give bris milah. And thus, we can't go against the words of the Torah. That's called overal divrei Torah. You hear? Okay. There are many examples. I want to get into this a little bit in terms of who likes the Taz, who doesn't like the Taz. But there are a number of examples of this. So if you look in footnote 71, he gives you a bunch. He really gets a lot of nice things here. So I want to go through a few of them that may be a little bit relevant to us. So for starters, he doesn't mention this, but you can also find the Svar of the Taz in the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch, so he says it in a few places, but what's relevant to us is Mitzvah Tes. Right, what's mitzvah tes? You don't have Pekiyas and Sefer Achinuch? No. Why am I mentioning it? Well, think about what comes up early in the Sefer Achinuch. Breishis already done by Gimel. You get Shmos. What are the mitzvahs in Shmos? All Pesach stuff, right? So what's the mitzvah tes? Is the mitzvah of Teshbisu, destroying chametz. So the Minchas Chinuch has his classic chakira in the mitzvah of destroying chametz. You remember that? What's the chakira?
Actively destroy or just to make sure your house is in the
stable. Right. Meaning, is it a mitzvah that's bikum vaseh, or is it only a mitzvah b'sheva tasa? We spoke about this last year, no?
Yeah, we got the first paragraph down pat.
Oh, Yoni already has it? That's it? No, but we spoke out this chakira last year at some point. I told you that mice I had with my uncle where... You don't remember that? I once asked my uncle that. We were talking about the Minchas Chinuch and that particular Minchas Chinuch, and I asked my uncle, is saying something is Bekum Vaseh versus Sheval Tase the same thing as saying it's a din of the Chetz or the Gavra? So he looked at me for a second, he says, Kishayiti Yelet Katan, Chashavti Shizel Tol Davar. Aval Achshav Ani Yodei Shizelo. That's all he said about it.
So, is he a man of few words?
It depends. When he wants to rank you out. but he said that he did me a service by not explaining the difference to me, because whatever, you sort of figure it out on your own. Anyway, it's better if you figure it out on your own. The chiluk in the Minchas Chinuch is that, do we say that you have to go out and get yourself some chametz in order to then destroy it? Or no, it's good enough that you don't have any chametz. Is it a mitzvah of Bekum Vaseh, that there's a mitzvah of Tashbisu to actively get rid of all chametz? Or is it a mitzvah b'shei v'altase, that you should? It's not a problem if you don't have any chametz? That's great. As long as you are devoid of all chametz, by the time the Isser chametz sets in, you have been mekayim this mitzvah saseh min haTorah. He likens it to the mitzvah of Shabbaton. Right? The mitzvah of Shabbaton is what? There's a mitzvah in the Torah to rest on Shabbos. How does one rest on Shabbos? How do you rest on Shabbos? Do you have to take a nap? Right. The way you rest on Shabbos is by not doing malacha. So the mitzvah's asay of Shabbason is the same as the iser of not doing malacha. It's a mitzvah b'sheva al ta'aseh. If Shabbos comes and goes and you didn't do any malacha, not only did you not violate los asays, but you also were mekayim the mitzvah of Shabbason. You had yourself a Shabbaton. That's the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch basically shows you which Rishonim fall out on which side. So we're going to have to get into that big Tosus, not a big Tosus, but it's important Tosus, where he argues on Rashi Shita of what Tashbisu is. And Tosus' Shita, he wants to be Machriach in Tosfos, that Tosus' Shita is that you have to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Tashbisu, Bekum Vase. You have a Chiyuv to make sure that you have some Chametz, and you eradicate that Chametz during the Zman when the mitzvah sets it. That's the conclusion of the Minchas Chinuch. And then he asks the following kasha li la tosvos. This is a mitzvah test. Os aleph di ramaskul ufi zeh. Kasha li la tosvos. Kevan dechal al adam chi of mitzvah bechatzos hayom. When is the mitzvah of tashbisu? Chatzos. You have a chiyuv to do tashbisu during chatzos. That's when the mitzvah sets in of destroying chametz. That's when the Yisra chametz sets in. Im Kain mitzvah lov sheyilo chametz v'yivaru bechatzos kemosha adam mitzuva liknos talis bas dalid. Just as you have to buy yourself a dalid konfos in order to be mekayim the mitzvah tzitzis, you have to make sure that you have some chametz comes chatzos on erev Pesach. Im Kain heich tiknu chazal lisrof betchila sheish. How could the Chachamim have said at the beginning of the 6th hour, an hour before Chatzos, you're supposed to burn all your chametz? Right? You ever notice that when they give you the Zmanim, on Erev Pesach, they always say, burn chametz by, and then, you know, the Isser, whatever, by Yerah, sets in when? Right? You ever notice they have such a thing? Well, it's L'maisa, they separate it by one halachic hour. The Chachamim say, right, Sorf and Metchila Sheish, what do they say? Show and Kol Chamesh, Sorf and Metchila Sheish. Ochin kol arbas, shoin kol chamish, v'sarv mitchil sheis. That's how we paskin, I think so. Anybody remember? I think that's how we paskin. So you're supposed to, you can eat till the end of the 4th hour, then you have to burn it by the beginning of the 6th hour. So why didn't wait till the end of the 6th hour? Then you burn it. That's the zman. V'heichichon lakar mitzvah satorah mikovakol mishum siyog. What is this? It's a siyag. We're afraid that you're not going to do it right. You're not going to do it on time, whatever. Therefore, you got to burn it early. Give yourself an hour of leeway. But how can they do that? They're literally taking away your mitzvah. It's like saying, listen, we don't want you to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos. So we'll tell you what. Blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah that year. What good does that do me? You're still taking away my mitzvah of shofar.
Proper time.
Yeah, meaning if it's any mitzvah that's bekum vaseh has to be done on time. If I have a chiyuv to blow shofar, I got to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. I can't blow shofar erev Rosh Hashanah. Any mitzvah that's v'sheva al taseh, so who cares when you actually got rid of the chametz? As long as it's not around, by the time the zman sets in, you're 100% mekayim the mitzvah. But a mitzvah that's bekum vaseh, so according to Tosfos, the Chachamim literally took your mitzvah and got rid of it mikol v'kol. You will never be mekayim the mitzvah tashbisu in your life, save certain extenuating circumstances. For example, let's say you had something and it became chametz. Then you'll have a mitzvah tashbisu to get rid of it. But that's it. Never will you be able to be mekayim this mitzvah. So what's the siyag? The toy yinish bein sheish l'sheva. People are going to make a mistake. What hour it is? Mikol makom heichichom lakor afilu b'sheiv al tasa b'shem siyag mitzvah deraisa mikol v'kol v'zem avor kama pomim b'achronim gabi shofar. Right? He's referring to this taz. This is explained in the achronim by shofar. Dein yichom lakor mitzvah sator shalot tkoa b'yantiv b'shem shemi yisakin klishir. Okay, he quotes a couple of other things. V'kanak l'gamrei shekolecha yivar chem so kodem chatzos ve'ein osam ha-mitzvah b'shum pam. No one's ever doing the mitzvah. V'dochak lomar, like I just said before, you can't really say the po'amim mekayim ha-mitzvah b'shem eschametz lo. Right, something will become chametz. Zed dochak, come on. That's not what Chacham had in mind, that we're not completely eradicating the mitzvah, because there will be rare circumstances where you'll still keep it. L'maisa, they're eradicating the mitzvah from the Torah, according to Tosis. The Eshelomar Dafka Mitzvah Hamechuyeves Ein Chazal Yecholim LaOkro Mikovakol. So now he wants to give his teretz. Maybe it's only by a mitzvah hamechuyeves, something you're mechuyev to do. That's when the chachamim can't be oker it completely. Kigon, shofar. Shofar, everyone's got to blow a shofar or hear a shofar every Rosh Hashanah. They can't get rid of that mitzvah. Aval dugma ditzitzis, dim eno lovish talis bas dalad kanfos, eno chayev klal. But what about, let's say, tzitzis? If the chachamim say, don't put on tzitzis, don't put on what we call sodin betzitzis, right? They completely eradicated wearing the shatnez version of the tzitzis because we were afraid that you were going to be wearing them when it's not the zman chiyuv, and then you're going to be violation of shatnez, right? You remember that? So therefore, that might be okay. And even, let's say they wanted to take that to the next level and eradicate tzitzis altogether. Don't ever wear a begadal kanfos because we don't want you to wear tzitzis. Don't ever wear a begadal, for whatever reason, we don't want you to wear a begadal kanfos, and you're never going to end up wearing tzitzis. Yeah.
What the chum did with tashbizu, was that legamre or was that...
Well, let me come back to it. Let me just finish this thought because I'm just going to get confused if I don't finish the thought. So he says, what about with tzitzis? So if they wanted to uproot tzitzis, they would be allowed to do. Why? What would be the difference there? What would be the difference between tzitzis and everything else? Because you're not really chayiv to put on a dalad kanfos in order to be mechayiv yourself in tzitzis. But once you're wearing a dalad kanfos, you are chayiv in tzitzis. So maybe the chacham could tell you, don't ever wear a dalad kanfos. So he says, "Ki ein chazal yecholim lakor mikol v'kol lavor al asay aval shelo lekayim v'lo lavor efshir yecholim lakor mishim siyog." Maybe they could tell you, "Don't ever do the mitzvah, and that way you'll never be violating the mitzvah because you'll never be chayiv it in the first place." So ein achinami, when it comes to the mitzvah of tashbisu, maybe you could argue that the Chachamim were saying, don't ever have any chametz come mitzvah time, and in that way, you're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah, but you were never really chayiv in the mitzvah, because you didn't have any chametz. The mitzvah only sets in if you have chametz, then you have a chiyuv to get rid of it. Tosfos Shita, that it's a mitzvah b'kum v'aseh, just doesn't mean that you have to go out and get the chametz so that you can get rid of it. That's only if you want to do the mitzvah. It's like going out and buying a dalad kanfos so that you can do a mitzvah of tzitzis. So the Chachamim could say, Mishum Siyog, don't ever wear a dal kanfos. But they can't say, don't ever blow shofar, because no matter what, you have a chiyuv to blow shofar on that very day. They can tell you, don't ever have any chametz, but mele you'll never be chayiv in the mitzvah of tashbisu, and you'll never be mekayim in the mitzvah of tashbisu, it's true, but so what? Mishum Siyog, that we don't want you to violate by Yerah Bayimatzeh, it's okay not to be mekayim in the mitzvah of tashbisu. Yeah. I don't want to call it a kiyumis because that's already starting down a slippery slope of A, do mitzvos kiyumios exist? B, like, what are they? Anyway, Lamaisa, this is not a mitzvah kiyumis, meaning if you're in a certain circumstance, you have a chiyuv. So just don't ever put yourself in that. I mean, no one says tzitz is a mitzvah kiyumis. Tzitz is a mitzvah chiyuvis.
Right. I think maybe that kind of
right, meaning if it's a mitzvah that's totally in certain circumstances, they can tell you you are not allowed to put yourself in the circumstances that you're going to be chayiv in the mitzvah.
They'll take you away from that circumstance, and in the mail you'll never have that chiyuv.
You'll never be chayiv in the mitzvah. So they're not being oker the mitzvah. The mitzvah is omid bimkomo. We're just telling you not to avail yourself of it. Yeah.
How is tashbisu not a mitzvah?
Tashbisu is not saying ad kedei kach that. You have a chiyuv to own chametz during the Shah Shishis so that you can burn it besol Shah Shishis. Tashbizu is telling you that if you want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Tashbizu, you have to burn chametz at the end of the Shah Shishis. So I'm telling you, don't ever own chametz on the Shah Shishis, and then you won't ever have a chiyuv to do that mitzvah.
Is that a standard understanding of Tosos, that even when you don't have anything that you don't have to go out and get it?
I believe so. I don't think anyone would say that. I mean, the Minchas Chinuch throws the svara. I mentioned the svara before. He throws that svara around that maybe you actually have a chiv to go get chametz. I'm not sure Dafka ever meant that you have a chiv to go get the chametz. He meant you should have a chiv to go get the chametz if you want to be mekayim this mitzvah.
So it's just like circumstantial or whatever, and you just have the chametz. So what's the real nafkamin between kumbasa and shevat tasa? Do you have to actively burn it or actively burn it? I'm like, you only accomplish shevat tasa if I thought that was the main nafkamin, whether you have to go out and get it. But otherwise, what's the real
nafkamin? So if you don't go out and get it, right, then you were never mekayim the mitzvah of teshbisu. According to Sheval Tase, every single year that the Shah Shishas passes and you don't own chametz, you just were Mekayim a mitzvah min haTorah. And according to Kumvase, you were Mekayim nothing.
Okay.
You weren't necessarily mevatel a mitzvah saseh min haTorah. You just didn't give yourself the chance to do it. It's like, I guess, I don't know, a mushel would be, you know, so there's three people sitting in a room doing nothing, and somebody says, who wants to do a mitzvah? So one guy raises his hand and says, I want to do a mitzvah. Were the other two guys mevatel a mitzvah saseh min haTorah? No, they just lost out on an opportunity to do a mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. But again, assuming he's not saying if you go actually buy it.
Right. I think the Minchas Chinuch is comfortable enough saying that that's right. not the real chiv.
Do people say that though? Is that a thing?
I think I've heard that many times. Right. I'm not sure if they really meant it like that you actually have to go out and get it, and if you don't, you're a terrible person. Yeah. They might just mean that if you want to be Mekayim the mitzvah Teshbisu, then you should go out and get chametz. But I'd have to reread it. I just Dafka skipped to the part I wanted to see for tonight. I lucked out that they bound my Minchas Chinuch here. I made that switch with the yeshiva like 5 years ago, or more than 5 years ago already, probably like 7 years ago. So they have my Minchas Chinuch Chelek Aleph, and I took the yeshiva's Minchas, because they accidentally bound mine. It was sitting in the Beis Medrash when the binder came in, so they accidentally bound my Minchas Chinuch. So if you notice, the Chelek Aleph, I blacked out my name, because people kept returning it to me. And I was very nice of them, but it wasn't mine. I have the yeshiva's one at home. They bound that and my Ritva and Chulin. I didn't even know they had bound my Ritva and Chulin. Somebody, Arya Geller, gave it back to me last year. He was learning here Night Seder, and he was learning Chulin, I guess. I don't know. So he showed me, like, a regular Beis Medrash copy with the sticker and the number and everything. He's like, is this your Ritva and Chulin? I was like, I looked at him. I'm like, yeah. I have no idea where it was. Anyway, okay, Maisa. So I had all my underlines over there and my notes on the margins. I knew where to look. Anyway, so that's the Minchas Chinuch's famous Shita like the Taz. And then he quotes elsewhere where he wrote the same Vart. He has it also in Mitzvah Kuf Yud Zayin, and he might have it in other places too. But I felt for us, we're doing Sachem, so it'll be Shayach New Mitzvah Tes. Okay, what else?
So the idea is that he basically tweaks Taz's rule.
He's basically saying that, of course, the Taz is right, that this rule exists, and that's a bam kasha. If you hold like Tosfos, basically you're arguing on a Mishnah, which says that we're sor from betchila sheish, not besov sheish. So he says that no, even the Taz's yisod is only when it's directly going against a mitzvah min haTorah and saying don't do the mitzvah. But what about if it's saying avoid the mitzvah? So then already that's okay. The question is, how far do we take this? Also, there are Rishonim that say that go so far as to say you shouldn't even violate something which is in the words of the Torah. Lav dafka real mitzvah, but you shouldn't even violate the words of the Torah. I'll show you an example of that. Before we get to that example, I just want to mention how some of the Rishonim come out on this idea. One second. So if you take a look, he alludes to it in the beginning of the non-bold part of footnote 71. on page Samache over there, he says, Amatzino Kamakons Rishonim Shekosvu Kedivrei Ataz. So he quotes Tosfos Bamitzia. I'll read you the actual Gemara Bamitzia. The Gemara Bamitzia is on Daf Ayin Amid Beis, where the Gemara quotes a pasuk. It says, Mar behono v'neshech v'tarbis l'chonin dalim yikabtsenu, which is a pasuk in Mishle, Perek Chof Ches, which says that a person who amasses wealth using ribis, using interest, so that money is going to be amassed by the chonin dalim, by he who takes compassion on the poor. It sounds like Hashem, but the Gemara says, no, my l'chonin dalim, who's the chonin dalim? Amar Rav, kigon shavur malka. Shavur Malka, this secular king who used to collect and take money from the Jews and give it to the random citizens of his Malchus who were non-Jews. So he used to take all the money away from the Jews and give it to the non-Jews, and that's why, that's because apparently that Jews were collecting money beribis. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna, lo nitzrucha elada filu ribis de nachri. This pasuk is coming to talk about even ribis that you collect from a goy. So the pasuk is basically saying, if you collect ribis from a goy, you're not going to see any kind of siman bracha from that ribis. It's going to all be given away. Eisvei Rav L'Rav Nachman, so Rav has a kasha. It says beferish la nachri sashich. You're supposed to charge ribis to a nachri. My sashich lav sashuch. Right. So the word sashich probably means sashuch, means you should collect ribis from him. Lo soshich. No, rather you should read it literally as soshich, which means you should pay ribis to the nachri. You're allowed to pay ribis to a nachri. You're not allowed to collect ribis from a nachri. So the Gemara asks, Lo sagi delav hachi. What? I wouldn't have known that anyway. Mehecha tesi to think that I'm not allowed to pay ribis to a nachri. There's no iser to pay ribis to a nachri. So there's an iser to pay ribis to Yisrael. There's no iser to pay ribis to a goy. So why would I have thought that I'm not allowed to pay ribis? Lafuke, right? So, lafuke achicha delo. So it's saying that you can pay ribis to a nachri, you're just not allowed to pay ribis to your brother. You're not allowed to pay ribis to your fellow Jew. So, frek the gemara achicha behed yiksiv be ulachicha lo sashich. It says in the Torah la nachri sashich ulachicha lo sashich. So why do I need to be medayik from la nachri sashich? It says lavra love baasei velo sasei. No, the answer is one is lo sashich, which means you're not allowed to pay ribis to a Jew. And the other pasuk is la nachri sashich, you should dafka pay ribis to a nachri, which is not teaching you anything. It's coming to tell you that there's a mitzvah say to dafka pay to the nachri and not to the Jew. You're not supposed to pay ribis to the Jew. So you have an asay that says don't pay ribis to the Jew, and you have a losa say that says you're not allowed to pay ribis to the Jew. So if you end up taking a milvah beribis from a Jew and you pay it back with the ribis, you're violating an asay and a los asay. That's the Gemara. So Tosas over here, Divra Maschal Anachri, has the following kasha. Vim Tomar, Umay Porich Mehai Kra, Holo Aser Elamid Rabbanon, Gzeir Shema Yilman Mimaisov, Kidamrin Mesamach. The Gemara, shortly thereafter, says that if there's an iser de rabbanon to pay ribis and charge ribis to a nachri, mostly charge ribis to a nachri, because we're afraid that you're going to learn how to do business in that way, and eventually you're going to charge ribis to Jews as well. Oh, excuse me. That's not what Shema Yomi Maisa means. I don't think that's what it means. I think it means Shema Yomi Maisa just means that you'll be badly influenced by him. You'll be badly influenced by you having too many business dealings with him. So Tosas' kasha is, I don't understand, why is there a pasuk telling me that I'm not allowed to be involved with ribis with goyim? It's not true. There's only an issur derabbanan. Yeshlomar dahachi parach. Dahachi parach mehai kura. This is what the kasha is. Kevan de amar rachmana la nachri sashich lo haya lehem lechachamim lasor. The pshat is not that, oh, we're going to learn an Issa Doraisa, because the Gemara says Beferish is an Issa Dorabanan. The Gemara is saying, if there would be a pasuk which says you should dafka charge ribis to a nachri, so how could the Chachamim come along and tell you not to? The Chachamim would not make a gzera shema yomer mimaisav if the Torah says you should do it. That's Tosas's point. That's Tosas explaining the Gemara. So what do you see from this Tosas? That he holds of the klal of the Taz. That if the Torah says this is something you should do, even if it's not necessarily a befirisha mitzvah to do it, it's not one of the Taryag mitzvahs to charge ribbis or to pay ribbis to a nachri. But nevertheless, if the Torah says do it, who are you not to do it? That's the Tosfos that seems to support the Shita of the Taz. There's also a Tosfos HaRosh. If you look in the footnote there, it's like five lines. It says, V'gam HaRosh B'Sanhedrin Yitesem Et Aleph Bir. Right, the Rosh in Sanhedrin on Yitesem Et Aleph. That sent me a red flag because that's the second parak in Sanhedrin. There is no Rosh on the second parak in Sanhedrin. So it's the Tosfos HaRosh on Yitesem Et Aleph. You may want to make a little note there. It's Tosfos HaRosh, not the Rosh. You could spend a lot of time looking for the Rosh. So the Tosas HaRosh on Yitesem Et Aleph in Maseches Sanhedrin, Divra Maschil Umalche Yisrael, is commenting on the discussion. The Mishnah, the opening Mishnah in Maseches, in Perek Kohen Gadol, says, Melech lo dan velo dananoso. You're not allowed to judge a king, and you're not allowed to be judged by a king. That's the halacha. So the Gemara then qualifies the statement and says, it's not talking about all kings. It's talking about Malchus Yisroel. You're not allowed to judge a Melech Yisroel. Malchus Beis David, you are allowed to. So that's how the Gemara explains it. And then the Gemara says, so why aren't you allowed to judge Malchus Yisroel? So it says, Mishum Maisa Shehoya. You remember the Maisa Shehoya? With Yanai HaMelech and Shimon Ben Shetach? Anyway, Yanai HaMelech had an Eved who killed somebody. So Shimon ben Shetach wanted that Yanai HaMelech should come and testify on behalf of his Eved. So Yavo Balashor, right? And he basically ended up intimidating the Sanhedrin to the point that they were afraid to face him. Shimon ben Shetach was not intimidated, and he screamed at him, Yanai HaMelech, Amod al Raglecha, get up, Yanai, stand on your feet. You're not standing in front of this earthly court, you're standing in front of the Melech Malchei Amlachim, and we're not scared of you. And then he said, right, boys? And he looked to his right, and they were scared. And he looked to his left, and they were also scared. They all looked away. And he screamed at them, you're all Balei Machshavos, you all have ulterior motives, and the real Baal Machshavos, the Rabbanu Shalom, should come and take care of business. And Hashem sent a Malach, and it killed them all. Anyway, so that's why they don't bring the king to court, because you don't want the whole Sanhedrin to die. So, all right, there's different versions of the story of how Yanai HaMelech ended up killing the Sanhedrin. But at the end of the day, whether or not you take that story exactly literally, there was a great tragedy that came from the fact that Yanai HaMelech was brought to court. Whether or not they all died on the spot, I'm not sure. But the Chazal attribute the death of the members of Sanhedrin to the fact that they were intimidated by Yanai HaMelech, and therefore says that it's not a good idea to bring a king into court. So the Rosh quotes the Yad Ramah. It says, Hikshir Rabbeinu Meir. Oh no, maybe it's not the Yad Ramah, but it might be. I say, Hikshir Rabbeinu Meir, so it could be the Marami Rutenberg, could be the Yad Ramah. I'm not sure. I didn't look in the Yad Ramah to see if he's quoting that. But it says, Hikshir Rabbeinu Meir, Mai Kamaflig Rav Yosef Bein Malchei Beis David LaMalchei Yisrael. So he says, wait a minute. The Gemara quotes by Malchei Yisrael a pasuk that says, Dino Levaker Mishpat, that they're supposed to judge, meaning it's the job of Malchei Yisrael to judge, Malchei Beis David to judge. And since it's not the job of Malchei Yisrael to judge, we don't say that they have to be judged and can judge. V'habahi shaita shenemra pasuk, hayu Malchei Yisrael danin, kimochein. So he says, what kind of raya is that? At the time the pasuk was written in the Navi, all of the Malchei Yisrael were being done. So the Maisa Shehoya of Yanai HaMelech happened much later. At the end, Tosfos HaRosh points out that the Maisa of Yanai HaMelech happened when there were no longer any Malchei Beis David. So what's it even talking about? All right, he gives it teretz. But L'maisa over here, he's saying, why is this pasuk effective dafka for Malchei Beis David, not Malchei Yisrael? The pasuk was there, and no, Malchei Yisrael were keeping it too. You can't prove anything from that pasuk because the pasuk happened before Yanai. It could be after Yanai. They canceled the pasuk for everybody. They canceled it for Malchus Yisrael. They canceled it for Malchus Beis David. So I don't understand. It says Miu Holo Kasha. This is not a real Kasha. Dilma Mistama. So he says, maybe the pshat is that since Hashem said the Malchus Beis David should be done, so who are the Chachamim to say, no, let them not be done. We're not going to make a gzera that the Malchus Beis David is not allowed to be done. Right, we just said similarly in Perek Hezunet. Amir and Hassam, the Midrabban and Gazru Shalol LaHalvos LaNachri BeRibis Yosu Mikdei Chayav, etc. All right, so that he says it's the exact same case as we just mentioned from Tosfos in Maseches Bav Metzia. So you have the Tosfos and you have the Tosfos Arash, who both go with the Svara of the Taz. However, there's also a Tosfos in Ksuvis that hopefully we're still a little bit familiar with. On the sugya of what? The sugya of Tchilaso Bepshia, the Sofa Baonis, Shita Vavua de Shmuel, that we're always choshesh for, Ratzin. I said Tchilaso Bepshia, the Sofa Baonis, I apologize. Tchilaso Baonis, the Sofa Baratzin. Sorry about that. So the sugya of Tchilaso Baonis, Sofa Baratzin, Avua de Shmuel wants to aser the woman on her husband anyway because we're choshesh that maybe it was Sofa Baratzin. That's the din of Avodah Shmuel. So on Ksuvus Nunal, if Tosus over there seems to argue on the words of the Taz. Let's see the Tosfos. So it's Tosus on Nunal from Divra Maschel Ones. Right, so it says so the Gemara had a kash over there. Ones the Shari Rachmana Echi Mishkachasla. So he says, I don't understand. According to Avodah Shmuel, it says in the Torah, Ulanaru Losasa Dover, that Ones is going to be mutter to her husband. So how could you ever come out with a case? Aren't we always choshesh sofa baratzon? So the Gemara gives answers over there, whatever the answers are. But Lamaisa, Tosfos' comments over here, Afal gav davu d'shmul chayshinon ka'amar, even though Avu d'shmul says the word chayshinon, lav dafka that it actually happened. It's a chashash. So you can answer very simply that Avu d'shmul is saying we're afraid that she wasn't Mekayim, what it says in the Torah that she should be Muteres Labaila, but that doesn't share the concept of Muteres Labaila mitam onis. You could argue such a thing. Still, Mash Malay Demidaraisa Ka'amar. So he says it sounds from the Gemara that he's talking on a level of Daraisa, even though he uses the word Chayshinon. So you could argue the whole thing's a Din Derabanan. Why? Because he's Choshish that maybe she was Baratzon. And therefore, she should be Asura Labaila. But really, you're going to say the whole thing is a din derabbanan, not deraisa? I don't want to say that, says Tosfos. Why? The imid derabbanan lo have motzian osami baila al kach. If it was only a din derabbanan, then what? They're not going to take her away from her husband because of a chashash. It must be that we're choshish on a level of deraisa. So if it's a level of deraisa, then I understand why Avu Shmuel is going to take away from her husband. So now we're saying that if you hold that there's really a Din Daraisa that were Choshesh for Sofa Baratzon, so then how do you ever have a case that the Torah is talking about? The Torah says not so. So that's the Gemara's Kash on Avu Shmuel. You're going against the Torah. So what do you see from Tosfos? What's the Diuk? Again, Tosfos says, the Gemara's kasha is, how could Avua de Shmuel be saying this? He's basically going against the din in the Torah that she's muteris labayla. So what's the answer? What's the answer? It's only midderabbanan. So Tosfos says, nah, just the fact that he says chayshinon, we're afraid, doesn't mean it's derabbanan. Pasha says it's doraisa. Why? Because the rabbanan wouldn't aser her on her husband just based on a chashash. On a derabbanan level, it must be that we're choshish on a doraisa level. And therefore, the whole thing's a din deraisa, and it flies in the face of the actual din deraisa. So how could he say such a thing? That's the Gemara's kasha. But if the Tosfos was held like the Taz, what would he have said? What would Tosfos have said?
He wouldn't be able to assume that the deraisa is
He would have said, I'll tell you why I know it's not a din derabbanan, because the rabbanan aren't allowed to make such dinim. If it says in the Torah she's muteris labayla, the rabbanan can't say she's a surah labayla. You hear? Tosa should have just given that pasha teretz. Not say that the rabbanan wouldn't have ruined her life like this. The rabbanan wouldn't have said that she's a surah labayla because we're choshesh that what it says in the Torah didn't really happen. It's just a chashash. So that wouldn't be the din derabbanan. But if you hold like the Taz, you could say much better that the rabbanan can't do such a thing because it flies in the face of what the Torah actually says. Torah says she's muteris labayla. We see she's a surah labayla. It's not good. So you see that the Tosas doesn't hold like the Taz. So okay, so you see it's a machlokas rishonim already whether or not we accept this Taz. I just want to throw in one more thing. This is a stretch, but I used to think I was the only one in the world who thought this. I actually was listening to a shir once. I heard Rabbi Sablovsky said the same vort. So still a stretch, but at least somebody else said the same thing. We once learned something in Siman Tzadik Aleph in Yeridaya, in this, I think it was 2 times ago, that in Siman Tzadik Aleph in Yeridaya, they talk about the din of Hadacha, that if you have Basar that touches Gvina and they're both somewhat moist, then you have a chiv to rinse off the Basar and the Gvina. So too, if you have Isser that touches Heter and they're both moist, or one is moist and stuck a little bit to the Heter, then you have to rinse off the Heter. Right, you remember that din? So we had a whole discussion there. It's a little bit of a stira between Hilchas Shechita and Hilchas Basar B'Chalav. Okay. So there's a discussion there. What if this is something that you're going to rinse off anyway? What if this is something that you're going to rinse off anyway? I.e., raw meat. Raw meat, you don't just take raw meat and then you cook it up. You rinse it. You clean it. So is it mutter to take raw meat and to put it together with cheese in a bag, assuming that there's no way you're ever going to not rinse the raw meat? So too, is it mutter to put it together with Iser? So there's a Rashba. The Rashba has a sefer called Torah Sabayis, and he deals with a lot of inyanim, especially inyan Yisr v'heter. So in the Rashba's Torah Sabayis, he writes that if it's something which you're going to rinse off anyway because the derech is to rinse it, then you're for sure allowed to put it together with Yisr. You're allowed to put it together. If it's meat, you're allowed to put it together with cheese, and it's not a chashash whatsoever. And this is how the Mechaber Paskin, the Siman Tzadik Aleph. However, the Ra'ah, the contemporary, they're both Talmidim of the Ramban, the Rashba and the Ra'ah, both the Rebbeim of the Ritva. The Ra'ah has a commentary on the Torah Sabayis called the Bedek Habayis. And in the Bedek Habayis, he argues, and he says that he doesn't think the Rashba is right. He says you're never allowed to put yourself in a situation, l'chadchila, that you're going to require Hadacha, that it's going to touch each other, and it's going to get the Isser onto the Heter, it's going to get the meat onto the cheese. You're never allowed to put yourself in that situation. And therefore, he disagrees with the Rashba, no matter what type of meat we're talking about, raw or cooked. And the Rashba, then, apparently he wrote it anonymously. He wrote something called the Mishmeres Habayis. It was since revealed that it was the Rashba himself, defending himself against the attacks of the Ra'ah. First he wrote anonymously against the Ra'ah's Ha'aris against him, and the Ra'ah's Hasagas, I guess you could say. And in the Mishmeres Habayis, the Rashba writes, nah, for sure I'm right. And then he throws in a pasuk. He says, I'll tell you that there's even a pasuk in Chumash that says that I'm right. It says in the Torah, Vayasimu es ha-chalavim al chazos. They took the chalev and they put it on top of the chazah, of the breast. Well, the chazah is like the breast meat. So they took it and they put it on top of the breast meat. So what do they do with the chazah? The kohanim get to eat it. What do they do with the chalev? Burn it on the mizbeach. Right? Chalev is very much inedible. You may not eat chalev. You certainly can eat the chazah if you're a kohen. So he says, look at this. The Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Heilige Beis HaMikdash, they took the Chalev and they put it down on top of the Chazah. What do you see? You see that since you know for a fact that they're going to be rinsing the Chazah before they eat it, because it's raw, so you're allowed to do it. It's a Pasuk in Chumash like me. So that's the Rashba's big raya, that he is correct, that if it's raw meat, there's no problem putting it together with cheese, putting it together with Isser, because you're for sure going to rinse it off anyway. You hear the raya? Why is that a horrible raya? Saying, where in the Torah does it say you can't take meat and cheese and put them in a bag together? It's a chashash midirabanan. There's no real din. You can't do that in the Torah. It says we don't want you to end up eating basar b'chalav that was basar b'chalav derabanan even, which was touching each other, wasn't cooked together. So the whole thing is a chashash atu basar b'chalav derabanan that you're gonna end up eating the meat which has some cheese residue on it. That's not daraisa. Wasn't cooked together. So how you bring a raya from a pasuk for a chashash derabanan that might lead to an isur derabanan? That's the Vilna Gaon's kasha. The Vilna Gaon and the Biur HaGra and Simin Tzadik Aleph of Cotton Bay says he doesn't understand the Rajma's raya. What? You bring a pasuk to defend? You bring a pasuk to defend your sheet on a double derabanan? Doesn't make any sense. And then the Vilna Gaon says the second point. He says, V'od to Kohanim Zrizim Heim. The Kohanim were extra frum anyway. They were very careful with all the halachas. So you can't bring a raya from the Kohanim to the average guy. Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash knew what they were doing. Right? Say, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. We didn't have any Gzeiris Midrabanan on Shabbos and Yoni Shabbos in the Mikdash. Why? Because Kohanim's reason, these Kohanim, they're not going to come to violate Shabbos anyway. They're good. They're good to go. So, the Gruz Kasha L'Chora blows away the Rashba. So maybe you could say along the same lines that the Rashba wants to extend the din of the Taz, which as we pointed out is really a din of Tosfos and the Rush as well. Or at least some Balei Tosfos. He wants to extend the din of the Taz, and he wants to say it doesn't only apply to things that the Torah tells you you must do. It even applies to things that it says beferish in the Torah that they did. It says in the Torah, this is how they did it in the Beis HaMikdash, or in the Mishkan, I guess. This is how they did it in the Mishkan. So if it says in the Torah that this is the way Aaron HaKohen and all the Heiliger Kohanim did it in the Mishkan, in the times of the Midbar, so how can the Rabbanim come along and make a gzera? You're not allowed to do that. They must have had a reason why they did it, and the reason has to be good. You'll argue, yeah, but mid the Rabbanim, they're still choshish. No, the Rabbanim don't have the right to come along and completely go against what it says in a pasuk in Chumash. So the Taz was saying it when it comes to... mitzvahs. But perhaps you could say it even when it comes to stories in the Chumash. It says, this is what they did. So the Rabbanim are not going to come along and say, no, don't do that, that's wrong. Well, we have that also in one other case by Karpif. It's mashma that the size of a Karpif, right? We spoke about a Karpif once upon a time when we did the Erevin stuff. Right? There's a shear base, I think it's base Asayim. I don't remember the details. The shear of the Karpif is it if there's like an empty area, an open area, they made a gzera, if it's too big, you can't carry on that open, empty field. Why not? So whatever reason. But they made the shear of the karpif dafka slightly bigger than the size of the chutzer in the Mishkan. Why? Because if they would have made it the same size or smaller than the chutzer in the Mishkan, what would have ended up happening? Retroactively speaking, all of the Kohanim who carried in the Mishkan on Shabbos would have been violating this Issur Derabanan. So we're not going to make an Issur Derabanan to say that the Kohanim were all doing the wrong thing. If it says that this is the size of the Chatzar in the Mishkan, and they were all carrying in the Mishkan on Shabbos, so we're not going to make a Gzeri. You can't carry in a carpet if that's smaller than that. It has to be bigger than that in order to make the Issur. Same, it's kind of the same idea. It doesn't say anywhere that there's dafka or mitzvah to carry in such an area, but there's an idea not to carry in such an area. So they made a din derabanan, but they didn't want to make a din derabanan that flies in the face of exactly what they did in the Mishkan. You hear? So it's the same thing. So perhaps the machlokis between the Rashba and the Ra'ah is the same, is whether or not you hold like the Taz. It's the machlokis between the different Balei Tosfos. You have Tosfos and the Rosh who hold like the Taz. Maybe the Rashba holds like the Taz, and the Ra'ah holds like the other Balei Tosfos, and all of the Taz is Chiddush. Or you could argue that, no, everybody holds like the Taz. The question is, how much do you hold like the Taz? Do you hold like the Taz, ad kere kach, that it includes non-mitzvos? Or no, that's talking about mitzvos, d'oraisa. You're not going to fly in the face of a mitzvah d'oraisa or a din d'oraisa. There's no din d'oraisa that they dafka put down the chaza on top of the chalev on top on top of the chaza. That's just what they did. Okay. Maybe that's the pshat. All right, maybe we'll just wrap up with a couple of achronim that he quotes over here. In the very bottom of the footnote, Rav Eisenberger quotes a couple of very interesting achronim. It says, "Ayin v'yad malachi klal reish tzadikei shehevi divrei ataz v'hiksha midam toar t'matzina mefurish b'torah shemutar liv ol al dam toar v'al kol zeh asru." So he says, right, Parshas Tazria. What happens? So they talk about when a woman has a baby, she's tame for a certain amount of days, depending on whether it's boy or girl. And then any dam that she sees after that time period, she could see a lot of blood. Doesn't matter. She's tahor. That blood is not tame blood. That's the shita of the chumash. Can't really argue on that. It's a din d'oraisa. However, we do argue on it. We paskin halacha l'maisa that we're not knowing dam tahor b'zman hazeh. That's the halacha. So he says, how could you come along and be knowing cancel dam tahor? It's against the klal of the taz. Says the Yesh Lomer, the high iser in a minig ba'alma. She says the iser of dam tohar is not meikar adin, not meikar adin at all. It's not really a din de rabbanan. It's just we're knowing not to be somich on dam tohar. We assume that we all dam no matter what we aser it. We don't differentiate bein dam ladan, bein din ladin, bein negel lanega, etc. That's one thing. And it quotes Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. Hiksha Hashoel Eich Hechrim Rabbeinu Gershom Shal Lisa Shtei Nashim. How's Rabbeinu Gershom allowed to put a cherim on somebody marrying two wives? I'm a furish b'torah laheter. Right? You're going against Yaakov Avinu? You're going against Avram Avinu? What's going on here? So he answers Poshet B'tir Tzachasim Sofer Afagav Dein Chacham Yecholim Les or B'takana Mashem Furish b'torah laheterah. If you yourself would take a shvua or a neder, I'm not going to marry two wives, that would work. So too, you're allowed to make a cherim. You're not allowed to marry two wives. So that's the same idea. So he says, "V'yesh l'chol nasi v'gadol ador l'hachrim v'les or kama k'mosha adam nishba li'atzmo." So too, the gadol ador has the right to be machrim those things which a person should have been machrim on himself. So Rabbeinu Gershom cheshvened out that if everybody in Klal Yisrael was smart, they would have taken a neder, I'm never going to marry two wives. So I'll be smart for them. I'll make a cherem against marrying two wives. But Echanam, he's not going against the Din Torah. He's not saying that it's really usher, and he's not even making a gzeris chachamim that it's usher. He's just making a neder on behalf. It's like zachen l'adam shlo b'fanav almost. He's being mazaka everybody with a neder that they all should have made. Right. So you could also explain the Dam Torah business the same way. Okay. All right, so that's some of the Taz. Well, there's more to say in this Os Tes, but maybe we'll save that for next time.
All right. Is that more like the Chazan? Is that more like the Chazan and the Chalev? Because it's not like Mefurish. It's not like Mefurish Din in the Torah. But it's just like we're saying, like from Maisim of like Avos.
Right. No, so you see that's the way we're learning Avos. It is not. No, Maisim Avos is not the. There's no mitzvah to marry two sisters.
Right.
There's no mitzvah. So there's no mitzvah to marry two wives. Right. I'm saying there's no mitzvah to marry four wives. There's no. But Lamaisa, you see that they did it and nobody had a problem with it. I don't know. I always thought if you look at Kemat, every story of marrying more than one wife, it all turned out badly. Right? When did it turn out well? When was it like a great idea that somebody married two wives, and that you would like look in Tanakh and you would think that it's this really highly recommended practice. Saying it turned out badly for everybody. Saying Penina lost 10 children, no? Penina ended up losing 10 children because, and she was the Shem Shemayim. So it's, it didn't. Penina? She was trying to be Ma'orer Chana to Davin better. So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz has a shtickle on that. It's a nice piece, check it out. But I don't know, most of the time it didn't turn out well at all. So even by Hagar, Rashi says that she was mapil her first ubar, that she miscarried because Sarah gave her an ayin hara. Right, and then when she finally had the child, it didn't go so well. I don't know, it doesn't seem It doesn't seem like it ever went really well, that it was something that one would want to... I don't know. There was a lot of strife in the household between Rachel and Leah, saying it wasn't... I don't know. Listen, I wasn't there. Certainly not for me to judge any avos or imos. You know, that we're millions of miles from that. But, like, it doesn't... What?
Yeah, doesn't, like, Ramon do that?
Yeah, all right, I'm maybe millions of miles from the Ramban too. The Ramban has a good taina. You know, the Ramban has a line by Avram Avinu. I told you that word ever. You know the word. He says, "B'makom ha'lashon." He ends off that when he says that Avram Avinu did a chait by going down to Mitzrayim and they're in the Rav. So that's why the Jews had to go down to Mitzrayim afterwards to be masakim the chait of Avram Avinu. So he ends off the line. He has one quick one-liner. B'makom ha-mishpat shama ha-resha v'achet. In the place of the justice, that's where the evil and the sin is. So what does he mean by that? So I saw in that Sefer Shaila Torah. You ever see the Shaila Torah? Somebody just translated it into English. So I noticed it in farm stores about maybe 6 months ago. Somebody translated it into English. It's like they said the Torah of Brisk on the Parsha or something like that. You see that? So the Shaila Torah, we have, they're up to like 5 volumes already. It's very nice stuff on Chumash. So I think his name is Meller. The guy who put it together, his name is Meller. Brisk? I don't know. That's Shaila Torah. He has a nice Haggadah. He has nice stuff. So he quoted, I forgot who he quoted from, he quoted the Gemara in Brachas. I forgot who it was. One of the Amoraim had a whole bunch of wine that turned into vinegar, right? It's in the Sugi of Yisurim, that a person that should be Mefashresh B'maisav. You know who it was? I forgot who it was. So he said that he went to the Beis Medrash and he started complaining. Look what happened to me. All my wine turned into vinegar. It was a major hefsin merubah. So one of his Talmidim said to him, he said, so it should be mefashresh b'maisav. Is there anything that happened, momentous related, that you need to be mechaper for? So he said, what do you mean? He says, Mi chashed ana beinaichu? Am I chashed in your eyes? You think I'm an Avarian? So what did he say back? He said, Umi chashed kujabrichu beinecha? The avidina below dina? He says, what? So what's the alternative? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu chashed in your eyes that he does justice for no reason? So he said, okay. So he says, is there anything? So then he said, if anybody knows anything that I did wrong, please let me know so I can fix it. So he said, you have a business partner, you owe money, you haven't paid him. So he says, that guy, he's a ganav. He steals more from me than I owe. So he says, I just took it off his tab. So they said, nah, if I'll PK, even though he's a ganav, you still have to pay him. So he paid him the money, and then the Gemara has two possibilities. One possibility is that there was a nace and all of his vinegar turned back into wine, and one possibility is that the price of vinegar went up and he was able to sell it for the same money anyway. So what's the pshat in that Gemara? So he says the same thing. The Ramban Shita is... He says, okay, Avram Avinu. Listen, Avram Avinu is Avram Avinu. But what the Rabbanu Shalom is the Rabbanu Shalom. You can't compare. So he says, you're going to be choshed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us down to Mitzrayim for no reason? We had to have our children thrown into the river for no reason? We had to be worked like slaves for no reason? He says, there's a reason. So what is it? So he says, my job. The Ramban says, my job is to read the Chumash and try to find the reason. He says, the only thing I found was this. The only thing I found of a midah keneged midah that Shaykh to say going down to Mitzrayim is a kapara for something is this maisa. So he says, "B'makom ha-mishpat shama resha v'achi." Right, that's what he said. Yeah.
I just don't understand. I mean, Avram had 10 tests, like.
According to Rashi, that was one of them.
Really, I think it was Ramban saying that all the hardships that he went through is because of like something that.
Not all the hardships that Avram went through, but. That we had to go through was a myself a simon bottom from this. Right? No, this was not one of Avram's tests. The Mishnah says Avram had 10 tests and he passed them all. So you can't argue that this was one of the tests because otherwise he wouldn't have passed it.
The Jews went down.
The fact that Bnei Yisrael had to go down, this week's Parsha, that they had to have a Shibud Mitzrayim was because of this.
Does that mean he doesn't hold isn't there a kind of Yisrum Shalava?
Of course, he can't not hold the Yisrum Shalava, the Gemara says.
And that wouldn't necessarily be connected to Mida, that just Hashem wants to do something because...
I don't know, this is...
Not because of the previous act that happened, so it must have been Mida.
I don't know. I think Yisurim Shalava, the Gemara says, is only when you mamish with Mefashresh, you call Meisim, and you can't chalk it up to anything.
when that was like the Ramban saying, like, listen, there was nothing to do, so I just did this. Like,
I don't mean not on this. So maybe I was.
Right.
I was a little dramatic in my presentation. I mean, it wasn't like I threw up my hands and I said, Mamash, nothing has ever happened. So what can I do? I saw the word Mitzrayim. I put the two together. That's not what he means. He means, like, it's my job to find what the chait might be. So he says, I have to learn Chumash, so I have to say that this is the chait. Anyway, whatever.